Word in 10, a devotional from Dwell Community Church. Scott Risley here with a short word from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon, the wisest and richest king Israel ever had. When Solomon became king, God appeared to him and said, "What do you want? Ask, and I'll give it to you." Solomon said, "I need a wise and discerning heart to govern your people." And God said, "I'm going to give you wisdom as well as wealth and fame." The first part of Solomon's reign was a huge success. But later, his heart turned away from God. He began to look for happiness in all the ways the world says to be happy. He tried to find happiness in his work. He built huge houses. He collected books and pursued the finest learning. He got drunk on wine and distracted himself with laughter. He slept with so many women, to the point where he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Solomon could get anything the world had to offer. But you know what he couldn't do? Find happiness apart from God. At the end of his life, Solomon came to his senses and wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And the subtitle could be, "What I Learned from Ruining My Life." It's depressing at times, but he writes it all down because he wants you to learn from his mistakes. One of the things that stands out to me from Solomon's life is the profound loneliness. When you study the life of Solomon's dad, you see that David had close friends like Jonathan who encouraged him, like Nathan and Joab and Gad who confronted him when he was wrong. But when we look at Solomon's life, where are the faithful friends? Could he have stayed on track if there were people in his life? In Ecclesiastes 4, Solomon reflects on friendship. He writes in verse 7, "I observed a man who is all alone. Yet he works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It's all so meaningless and depressing." The great dream of society is we work and earn and sell and buy more and more and more. But the reality is, as you climb the ladder of success, you often get more and more alone. Like this guy here. By the world's standards, this person's a winner. But in reality, he's a loser. Solomon says it's meaningless and depressing. That's because all the most important things in life are things that cannot be purchased. True success cannot be measured in dollars and cents. Solomon is teaching what modern psychologists are just now discovering. Like Dr. Robert Putnam of Harvard, in his book Bowling Alone, writes, "The single most common finding from a half century's research is that happiness is best predicted by the breadth and depth of one's social connections." Solomon goes on to share some benefits of friendship. He writes, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed." Yes, friends help each other succeed. When I'm facing a difficult decision, I turn to my friends for advice, and I'm able to do the same thing for them. Friends help each other succeed by praying for one another. If you don't have friends, who will be praying for you? Who will you pray for? The saddest person in the world is the one who has no one praying for him. Friends are also important when the setbacks of life come your way. He writes, "If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble." One threat you face is falling, your own weakness. There are times when you will fall. Sometimes that fall can be literal. There will be illnesses, injuries, financial hardships. But falls can be moral as well. There will be times you mess up and need to confess. This can be hard, embarrassing. Do you have friends in your life who you can confess to, who can help with the healing process? Are you close enough to others that they want to open up to you? There will be times when you've fallen and you don't even realize it. And I thank God for the good friends in my life who've had the courage to speak up. Solomon goes on to talk about the support we receive from our friends. He says, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? Well, this one sounds a little weird today, but this was normal for them. They lived before the invention of the furnace or even the electric blanket. In winter, the family would wear their warmest clothing and huddle together at night under a few blankets to keep from freezing to death. Two travelers might lie down next to each other under one cloak on the road. And I don't know if this applies today with regard to physical warmth, but what about the warm emotional support we get from friendships? We live in a harsh world, and life is cold when you're alone. We face disappointment, setbacks, rejection, attacks. I thank God for the friends who give me so much emotional support, encouragement, kindness, laughter. I experience this on a regular basis and I give it to others as well. And he says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. There will be battles. One battle we face is the battle with our own weaknesses. Thank God for the friends in my life who hold me accountable. But there will be battles with people as well. You'll be attacked and betrayed. You'll have conflict. Sometimes your initial instinct is not a wise response. I have friends I go to in these situations for advice on how to respond. With all these setbacks and challenges, we ask, when is the time to start building deep relationships? Is it when disaster strikes? No, that's way too late. We start long beforehand so that when trouble comes, we have friends who know us, and so that we can be there for them when trouble comes into their lives. When Jesus faced the greatest challenge of his life, he did so not only with the Father. He wanted to be with his friends right up until the last possible moment. Friendship is costly, but loneliness is far more costly. Finally, Solomon concludes, three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. He's been talking about two, and now he says three. Some think this refers to a relationship with God. There's me and there's you, but if both of us have a relationship with God, he becomes a third strand woven around the two of us in a spiritual friendship. Others think this refers to the power of community. Because if you think friendship provides strength, imagine the strength of a whole community of friendships. Solomon is teaching that we need to make relationships a top priority in our lives. If there's one lesson he's learned from his mistakes, it's this one right here. Don't learn this the hard way. We don't need the brightest minds at Harvard to tell us this. We can listen to the wisdom of Solomon from 3,000 years ago to discover we were made for relationships, and true success flows from our relationship with God and relationships with others.